Good morning. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to each of you. How many of you were not here the last time I was here? My God, where could you people have been? Didn't you know I would be here? How many of this is your first time ever being here at Bethany Place? First time ever. Oh, you were serious. You were telling me. Anyone over here, first time ever? All right, so let me just do this so we can get in here and get out. I know you all have lots of plans today, and I don't want to detain you. I'm so thankful that so many of you all came out to the New Year's Eve watch night service that takes us into the new year, and so I'm excited about doing that. You all have got at least another 10 or 12 hours to spend with me before we bring in the new year. Amen? All right, so what we want to do is, just so that I don't have to speak too loud, and I'm just like this anyway, I showered this morning. I'm in good shape. I'm sure you all are too. I want you to, if you can, come as close as possible to me this morning. I mean, if you want to be up here with me, that's fine too. I just as close as you can possibly get to me. I'd like to be overwhelmed by your presence this morning. Oh, you would just warm my day. You'd make my day if you just came as close. Because it takes a lot to speak, and you can hear all the way in the back. Oh, absolutely. These front seats here, that's just great. Something's going on? Roll it up. Oh, like right there. Okay. All right. All right. Can you all hear me okay? Yeah, be here for... Oh, absolutely. Man after my own heart. Man after my own heart. Can you show them the beautiful feet? That's what I want to... Yeah, beautiful feet. That's what you have, man.
Well, I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway, my name is Milton Harding. For those of you who don't know, I serve the SBCV, which is the Southern Baptist Conservatives of Virginia, as a relational associate in pastoral work. I go around and I preach and I speak and I encourage pastors. How many of you all know that's a wonderful field to minister in, to the pastor? And I know you're a pastor here. We are blood brothers. We are baked and cooked out of the same fabric. And so, bless his heart, he's going to be in balmy Kentucky spending some well-deserved family time. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel, Luke of Gospel. Everybody turns to the Gospel of Luke in these times. But I want to speak very briefly with you this morning about more than a baby in the manger. You're saying, but wait a minute, we're headed into the new year. But I don't like to move so quickly past what took place in Bethlehem, because it has major ramifications on those of us who are sitting here seeing and breathing this morning. How many of you will fit that characteristic? You're seeing and breathing this morning. Okay, good. So what took place in Bethlehem has a whole lot to do of us being able to sit here this morning. I wouldn't go much further than this, just to, first of all, thank my lovely bride for being here. How many years, baby? I know how many years it is. Okay. 35 years, 36 in about a month or two. And so I can't believe no hands are clapping. You people have got it all worked out. Oh, marriage, let me just tell you that I've learned that you just don't get 35 like talking about it. No. And then I have wonderful family members visiting with me as well. They always drive overnight from Charles City to come and hear me preach, and so they're right here in the area, so we're glad to have them. And then some who I have a special place in my heart because they protected Fairfax County. While we slept last night, they were making sure that nothing burned down, so... My wonderful friend Stephen and my wonderful daughter, I'm embarrassing them too, that's yeah, Monica, have driven all the way from Northern Virginia. They just can't get enough of me, and that's why I say it. Anyway, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read starting in verse 8. I am convinced, I think, annually, if you will, it's not getting to be that way so much more, but the world kind of turns its attention to Bethlehem, and we get to talk about the manger and the babe in the manger. And to the world, well, let me start with the church. To the church, we should know that to be a very glorious moment in time because our Savior came into the world. But to the world, it's no more than a fictional story that people somehow got revved up over. It's hard to take the manger story if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and make it and have it make sense to you. And so if you recognize the activities going on within the government realm and within our educational system and certainly in our political fabric, we can see that this do away with this manger thing, this nativity scene, because it doesn't make sense to us. And thereby you have this staunch group that says, what? I mean, how many of you realize there have been a lot of focus put on monuments and flags of late? I recognize that other than me. Well, you know, let's just say that the manger isn't getting so few addresses either. I mean, you can't have the nativity scene just anyway anymore. And then I came along when I grew up, the nativity scene, they were everywhere. Anybody in that deal? So to those of you all who are coming up in this time, and I love this group over here, I found out this morning that you all have several places in the sanctuary. You hang out by the sound booth. I don't even know what that's about, but you hung out there. You just hang out. And then you have your own section over here. So that's just wonderful. My God, and it doesn't look like you all were made to come this morning. That's the other exciting part. You act like you really look like you want to be here. Okay. So, no, that's a real good sign of health in a church right here, I want you to know. Yeah. Because they say that you folks shouldn't even be here. You folks, yeah, let's give them a hand. My Lord God, yeah. They say we're losing our youth. And I say we have to gain what's here. We have to build up and lift up and encourage and strengthen those who are here. God never works with stuff we don't have. He always works with what we do have. See, if we have to just live on what we have and figure that, the first thing we'll say, that ain't going to cut it. And God would say, you're exactly right. Because he's the one that takes 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? Yeah, so we can't leave the supernatural out. I love so much the song all of the songs that ministered to me this morning. It is well with my soul. That's a big time manger piece. Big time manger piece. It is well with my soul. Peace on earth. Oh, come on. That's major stuff. So anyway, let me take a little brief moment here this morning, and I'm not going to tell you anything probably new, but I'm going to remind you, which most sermons are. They are reminders. Most of the time when you get into the scripture, we have God's word because it's a reminder to us. It's not only a reminder, but it's truth, and it's his commandment to us. How many of you realize the word of God is not optional as a believer? It's not, well, okay, I'll get to it, or I'll try to work it out if I can find some time in my schedule. Does anybody know what I mean? This is life. This is life. This actually makes you want to come to church. This actually makes you want to be hanging out with people. And that's a tough time. I mean, even in the church this day and time, we don't find many people who just like to hang out and rub shoulders with one another. You know, because we like our space, right? We don't want anybody all up in our stuff, right? Maybe I have the wrong church. I'm looking for the people who know what I'm talking about. So when we talk about this manger, and I just want to throw a couple of points at, look, I don't even have a lot of notes. We'll be out of here way before 8:30. Way before 8:30. But when we talk about the manger this morning, I want you to personalize it. I want you to kind of wrap your heart around it and make sure that you understand that whole purpose and the whole focus of it. Because let me tell you, folks, the manger did happen. Did happen. And there's truth to that. And so the few things that I share this morning, I hope it will resonate with your spirit. And then that we can have a shout and good time in the Lord this morning. How many of you know it's okay to shout in a Baptist church? Yeah, it's okay to say hallelujah in here. Yeah, it's okay to raise your hand. Listen, let me tell you something. I've hung out with some 80,000 people before screaming their tonsils out over a football game. And no one even thinks that there's anything wrong with that whatsoever. And you know, I recognize a thing. The more those little people came around with those little cards of beer, the more those things got depleted, the louder the crowd got. And this brown brother used to be one of those attendees. Used to be one of those folks that would help the cart to get depleted. Because I didn't have a clue who Jesus Christ was. And so I thought cocaine and pot and drinking and just raising all kinds of ruckus. Oh, I know I don't have the right crowd yet, because nobody says amen. You'll have no idea what I'm talking about, Jesus. No. Hey, keep this up. We'll stay here longer. But once I found out who Jesus Christ was, I don't care who hears me say hallelujah. I don't care who sees me raise my hand unto the Lord. Because I know that the manger story is true. And it has some tremors to it that should make us resonate with it. That's if we know him. So, did I tell you what book to turn to? Did I tell you what chapter? Okay, so we're going to start reading in verse 8. Now, the backdrop to this is Joseph has gathered his family to go in and be registered. They had to be, the edict came out that the Jews had to make sure that they went in and were accounted for by the census. And so as we pick it up in verse 8, we get into this wonderful story that I want to talk about this morning. While Joseph was getting the paperwork done on his family, Mary, his wife, came to term with child. Mary came to term with child. It had already been told to her that she would be carrying the Messiah. Oh, what a picture. Carrying the Messiah. Let's go in verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. I'm reading from the New American Standard in case you all have a different version, just so you know where I'm reading from. Verse 9, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, they appeared with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the view that you give us, this opportunity to enter in unto your thoughts, your purpose, and your ways. Thank you, Lord, for the baby Jesus in the manger. Now, Father, I pray that as we allow this word to unfold to us, that we will come to grips with it, that we would not only just be hearers, but be doers of the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And so, first of all, I think it's interesting that when Gabriel or the angels were making visits heretofore in this moment before this announcement is made, we find Zacharias over there about to get the prayer answered for his son, and the angel Gabriel came to him and told him, you're going to have a son, and his name will be John. You remember that story? And when we look at his response to the angel in his midst, and I want you all to get this, Zechariah said, well, how can I be certain? How can I be certain? Now, keep in mind, angels don't come from the earth. Angels are sent by God to the earth. Stay with me on this one now. And so an angel shows up in Zacharias' moment and tells him he's going to have a son. Incidentally, Zacharias was even praying for that, because the angel says, your prayer has been answered. Oh, this gets better. This gets better. So the faith of Zechariah says, well, how can I know this for certain? It probably would have been enough for both of us if an angel just showed up, right? That, yeah, how much more certainty do you need? You know, the Bible does say we could entertain angels unknown even this day and time, but I'm saying here is the priest of God, the man of God, the man of God's word, in there performing his duty as a priest, and the angel shows up. What more could you want? Yeah, so anyway, so God in his way says, oh, so you need a sign. You need to be certain, do you? Okay, so God divinely pushed the mute button on Zechariah. Yeah, he did. Y'all thought mute buttons just showed up. Mute buttons have been around for a while. They've been around for a while. So he pushed the mute button on Zacharias, and for about 9 months, Zechariah couldn't say a word. He wasn't ready to proclaim what God had just done in his life, and sometimes God has to put us on mute. Because we're not ready to proclaim, because there's so much we want to know for certain. My God, if God told us everything for certain, we probably wouldn't even be here this morning. Somebody say amen. I don't like to fetch them, but I mean, if you feel amen, just say it. Don't nobody's going to be upset. And so for about 9 months, he shut down. He could only write with Etch-a-Sketch or... I would say tablets, because some of you all don't have a clue what Etch-a-Sketch are. But anyway. Anyway. So we would move along. We move along in chapter 1. Ah, this virgin girl named Mary gets an announcement. Ah, she gets an announcement. She gets a visit herself from Gabriel. Yeah, the angel shows up at Mary's house. And he says, Mary, you favorite one. Favorite one just meant that she was all right with God. She was all right with God. And then he began to tell us. He says, calm down. Don't be afraid. It's all good here. I'm paraphrasing a little bit just so you understand what the passage is saying, what the text is saying. So he says, you're going to be carrying a child, and he will be the Son of God. Woo! Work that one out, ladies and gentlemen. And we don't realize and we don't understand, because sometimes people tell us that we're nuts when we start doing this Jesus thing too excitingly, too fervently, too much. But let me tell you something. How would you react if you heard from God today and you knew it was God? That can be our problem sometimes. We hear so many voices. So sometimes we can hear the voice of Wikipedia than we can hear. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, we log in. What would the world do right now if we didn't have Google? Yeah, yes, absolutely. I mean, we would, listen, where are those days when we have an Abrahamic moment when he just heard the voice of God and the man took his whole crew to another country? We need those days back, Beth. Those days exist right in here when we hear the voice of God. We know he's speaking directly to us, but sometimes we don't get it. But this woman, this little girl named Mary, and incidentally, they theologians and historians say that she was about 16 years old. About 16 years old. Betrothed to Joseph. Going to be married, and she's going to be with child. Now, that wouldn't play out too well in today's social acceptance environments. Because in order to be pregnant, I mean, things have to happen, right? Can I say pregnant in here? I'm okay, right? Yeah, things have to happen. And so, but this is the Holy Spirit of God moving to tell us, because we'll look a little bit later on in verse 10, he says, it's good news for all people. But he goes to her, and you know what she says to the angel? She says, under her voice, she says, okay, how can this be when I've not yet been with a man? So let me paraphrase that so you understand, and you'll see this later on in that text if we were going there, but I encourage you to go read it because it's there. It wasn't that she was questioning and needed more Yeah. Here's what Mary was saying. Let me paraphrase it. Okay, Gabe, what's the plan? Yeah. I'm going to show you this in a minute. She says, what's the plan? Not, okay, explain to me exactly. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No. He says, okay, here's how it's going to roll out. Holy Spirit will come upon you. You'll be with child. Da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. We know how the story goes. And do you know what Mary said to him? Oh, my God, my God. And this is why I know she wasn't questioning. Mary says, then let it be done. Then let it be done to your servant, as you have said. Where are those folks in here today, this morning, when God says, will you go and tell somebody, will you carry the Messiah? Will you carry him? As he showed up, and this is where I move into what we're talking about this morning, and it's found right there in verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds. So we have Zechariah, we see his deal. We have Mary, we see her deal. Now, we didn't even get to Joseph, but over in Matthew, 21, I think it is, we see his exchange. But Joseph is the same way as Mary. These are devout people. They're not just hanging out. They're not just being Sunday morning church attendees. Word of God says about Mary, she was a devout, righteous, blameless woman, let alone the fact that she was a virgin. Listen, God calls forth for spiritual virginity. That we're not out there having these exchanges with other voices and other worldly ways that we develop and give birth to these ideas that there's some other God other than God Almighty himself. And let me tell you this, whatever you are drinking determines what you're thinking. You can use that if you want to. You don't have to give me props. I'm just telling you. Yeah. Whatever you're drinking is going to determine what you're thinking. Because if you drink some of that jacked up philosophy and ideology that's out in the world today that tells you that evolution is the way, or that tells you that there is no such thing as Jesus Christ, that tells you that there's no way that God could have created all of this, that kind of drinking will affect your thinking. And so, shepherds. People could have lived their lives for a long time if shepherds weren't around. That's kind of the reputation that they had. Nobody wanted to hang out with shepherds. Shepherds were worthless people in the eyes of the Jewish status quo, so to speak. Worthless. They didn't want to deal with anybody that was dealing with those animals. Oh, wow. Can you imagine pastors being the under-shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd, dealing with animals? I'm not calling you all animals, but I'm just saying. Yeah. There's a principle here. God doesn't lay it out in our little neat mind of how we think it ought to happen. No. He makes rocks cry out. That's how he does it. Yeah. He'll make a donkey talk. And then dare you not to believe it. Because he says this, you ain't seen nothing yet. Do you understand? Shepherds. Out in the field doing their job, tending sheep, and the angel shows up and he gives them good news. He gives them the good news, just like it says there in the verse. In the same shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch, and an angel of the Lord. Now, here's something that we need to get internalized, because sometimes I think we think that the good news is only for Bethany Place. How many of you all live at least 10 miles from here? Keep your hand up. 15? 20? 30? 40? Praise God Almighty, from whom all blessings flow. You live 40 miles from here. And you knew I was going to be here. And you still came 40 miles. That's just amazing. So they're the shepherds. I just wanted to know where you people were from. So the shepherds, they're out in the field tending the sheep. Nobody's giving them the time of the day. And then the angel shows up and he says, oh, got a word for you. Some good news. The gospel. I got good news. Now, this is a big deal because for 400 years, roughly, we had nobody talking to us from heaven. We had no word, no nothing from whatsoever about what's God doing, what none of that. And so now, angels are popping up all over the place. Yeah. But here's how God does it. He didn't go and tell the top-notch theologian of that time. He didn't go to the mega church pastor at that time. He didn't take the news to the king at that time. He went to a group of no-name shepherds in the field watching the flock. Oh, that is shouting hallelujah stuff right there if you understand what I'm about to say. Because God's not looking for this great masterpiece externally. He's looking for everybody in here who has an internal availability so that you can carry the Messiah and, for God's sake, tell somebody. I'm not even standing before you if somebody hadn't done that in my life. And I get the distinct privilege, and it is truly, I'm humbled by it, it's a privilege to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't want to just give you lip service and some scriptures. I also want a life that reflects that, man, there was a time that I used to be in bars. And I reflected what I looked like. Don't get quiet on me in here now. I'm just saying. I mean, we're in a safe place here, right? Right? Oh, okay. All right. No. Listen. One thing about a changed life, because I remember when I was acting wild and crazy, I didn't care who knew. Now, I was conservatively wild and crazy, I might add. Yeah, I wasn't ripping up stuff, but I was internally ripped up. And you don't care. You know, it's an amazing thing. My wife and I will laugh at it sometimes. Sometimes when you're watching a football game in Buffalo, we'll be on a TV or somewhere, some frigid place, and there are people out there that have letters painted on their chest. And the only reason you know that is because they don't have a shirt on. Oh, you seen that show too? Yeah. So, they're out there, and they're cheering in one hand, and in the other hand, they have a beer. Alcohol is a beautiful thing. In 10 below. But you know what? Ask them if they care. They don't even know about it till about 3 or 4 days later. Now, I know some of you all will give me those pious looks like you don't have any, like you don't know what I'm talking about. And I mean, that's okay. I'm just saying how God does things. And he's doing stuff in here right now if we let him. So they go to the shepherd. And you know what they say this good news is for? Verse 10. He says, it's for all people. Oh, if y'all can't shout about that, I don't know what you can shout about. My Lord, listen, the good news is for everybody. Now, everybody is not going to accept the free gift because we're too smart for that. There's got to be some strings attached. Like, what have I got to do for something that is free? But you know, he says he takes the foolishness to confound the wise. Yeah, the gospel is a stumbling block. It's foolishness to those. And one thing about Jesus, when I was growing up, I was a little boy. They took us to Sunday school and took us to church. I didn't want to go. I'm going to just straight up tell you right now. That was not on my list of things to do on Sunday. But when I grew up and where I grew up, it wasn't an option. That's why it's so wonderful to see you all people. It's good to see you all here, because you don't even look like somebody made you come. You look like you wanted to be here. And I just appreciate that. But anyway, somebody made me come. So I'd go there, and we'd go there, and you know how that story goes. Oh, you don't know how that story goes? Yeah. So that means everybody in here wanted to go to church. But yeah, okay, got it. So, let me stay in the script here, because you all are looking like you don't know what I'm talking about. I will tell you this. If I hadn't told you before, I will tell you that my choice of serving in the church was I wanted to be an usher. only because that group of folks had more liberty during the church service than any group that I knew. Yes, Lord have mercy. Yeah, you could move all over the building. Nobody asked you where you were going. Nobody made you sit down. I mean, you could just come and go, and all you had to do was look like you were getting ready to do something important. And as soon as the sermon started, you can go stand out on the step and wait for the key word to say it's over with. So, somebody say amen. Yeah. Anyway, let's stay to the script. It's good news of great joy. It was that good news, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ in here this morning, it was that good news of great joy that brings great joy that set this brother free. Set him free. Well, what was he in bondage to? It wasn't external stuff. I can guarantee you that. And those of us who haven't been set free, you're bound not outside of you, you're bound up inside of you. And the good news is to save people from their sins. Jesus came to die on the cross to save people from their sins. Because if you don't know him and you don't accept him, and I'm not talking about you know him because it was written down. I'm talking about you intimately know him. Been with my wife 35 years. In the whole nugget of it all, probably 40 years, 42 years or what have you. Dude, that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So let me just give you this heads up. There's a level of intimacy between us that I just know. Do you all know what I'm saying? Anybody been married 35 years? 45 years? Let me talk to you people then, because So there's a level of intimacy that goes on between a husband and a wife, and that's the relationship that God calls us with his son. You've got to understand, the church is also known as the bride of Christ. Do you not think that Jesus Christ is intimate? You better believe it. He knows about your troubled places, and you don't even know you have those places because he hadn't revealed them to you yet. Oh, my Lord, what's this whole sin issue? Well, the sin issue starts back in Jeremiah 17:9 when the Spirit of God through Jeremiah said, above all things, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Now, if you look around in here, you don't see no wicked people in here. No, you people look wonderful. My God, it's Sunday morning in church. We scrub up real well on Sunday morning. We may not look all that great Monday through Saturday, but Sunday morning we're going to town. Yeah, but you know what? In this building right now, in this room right now, there are some desperate, wicked thoughts going on in our hearts. And I don't know that because I'm in your heart, but the Word of God tells me. Above all things. And if we look at Genesis, oh, there it is. If we look at Genesis chapter 6, and we won't, God says, I looked and I saw that that men's hearts were evil continuously. The manger story hadn't even surfaced yet when God saw that about men's hearts, because sin had kicked in. Sin kicks into a man's heart and it remains resident there until he is set free from it. And it's not the rudiments of sin. The biggest sin ever known is when you reject Jesus Christ as the only rescuer from your sin. There's no therapy, there's no couch, there's no psychological drug. There is nothing you can get that's going to set you free from what you're bound up with inside. Do you understand what I'm saying? Brothers and sisters, that's good news. That's the gospel. We are talking about a babe in a manger, but we're really talking about the cross, because the babe in the manger, as we look in verse 12, was a sign. The babe in the manger was a sign. We slept on it. Some of the Jews slept on it. Not on the manger. Jesus was there, but they slept on the fact that it was a sign to them. This had already been prophesied. Yeah, this had been prophesied. So Jesus, I love this story. I love this. There was no room for him in the inn. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? The Holiday Inn was booked tight because the celebration was going on, and we couldn't find a place for Jesus. Oh, how much is that relevant today? How much is that is relevant today? We can't find a place for Jesus because our hearts are all booked up. No room for him. So, now here's the backside of this that you got to really, this will make your ears wiggle. It did mine when this is how God does stuff. How wonderful would it be that you would find Jesus lying in a manger when you consider he's the bread of life? And when you realize a manger is a feeding trough. That's all a manger is. It's a place where animals eat. Now, I'm not calling you all animals, but I'm just saying. It's a place that animals can self-feed themselves. Call a trough. Any farmers in here? Not in here. I'm the farmers. Good Lord, what's wrong with you people? Anyway, it was a little more upscale, but there were these feeders that I raised pigs for anybody who did not a lot of them. That was one of those. Oh, you raised pigs. I was made to raise pigs, I'll put it like that. And anyway, so there's a self-feeder that you get from the feed and seed store. You go out and you buy it, and you take the sack of feed and you put it in there, and the pigs come and they have a snout. Y'all with me? Yep. I'm not making this up. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so I'll just talk to you then. Okay, so when the pigs get hungry, they take their snout and they lift up this little metal piece, and they just stick their head in there and they eat till they've had enough. And they back out, and you can tell every time they eat because the thing goes, bam. I mean, but a trough that baby Jesus was found in was not that. It was pretty much like you see with the trough today, but they just, whoever the shepherds were, would put food in that trough, and then, okay, enough of that. The point I want you to realize that it's good news for all people that the bread of life was born in a manger. Was born in a manger. Oh, if that wasn't enough, they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Clothes typically, old clothes, were used to rip up by the Jews and they cleaned them, but they would use them again. Guess what for? Burial. Who said it? Somebody over there. Yeah, they would wrap bodies in these burial cloths. Imagine that. Baby Jesus trying to tell the world, this is just a sign I'm coming. I'm going to be hung up. I'm going to be put in the ground. But I'm going to be raised up. Oh, what's wrong with you people? That's shouting stuff right there. Yeah. Because you know when Peter got there, he looked in, he says the only thing he could find on the tomb bed was some linen clothes neatly folded up. My Lord. You know what he said prior to that? Ain't no grave can hold me. That's shouting stuff right there. Yeah, I mean, y'all don't know what to shout about. Listen. He says, ain't no grave can hold me. I lay my life down because I choose to. I've been given the authority to lay it down, and I've also been given the authority to pick it up again. So when we're going through the rudiments of, oh, my Lord, they took Jesus. What have they done with him? And he says, no, it was a sign. I gave you a sign in the manger. Gave you a sign. In a manger. That sign was something that was going to be noted by all people. It's just like when you see the little Google thing. Everybody knows what that means when you see it, right? Or the little A on the taskbar. That means on the taskbar, y'all don't have a. What's that little A mean? I'm surprised at you all. Amazon. It's just a quick, what's wrong with you people? No, okay, obviously. Well, no, maybe it's good you don't know. I mean, Amazon's getting ready to overtake the world. Good news, lying in a manger for all people. He says, and I love what Simeon. Simeon said this about, he was speaking to Mary. You got to stay with this now. Simeon, who was a priest, who was promised by God that he wouldn't die until he saw the baby Jesus. And he saw the baby Jesus. And then he went, he first gave glory to God, and then he began to prophesy to the baby's mother. It's not like she didn't have enough going on in her life as it was, right? Mary, I mean, I'm glad. First of all, ladies, thank you. I just want to say, and this brother over here says thank you too. Yeah, I just want to say thank you. Because it's probably enough just to go through that whole birth thing. But if you know you're carrying the Messiah, can you understand? And more often than not, in this depiction of Mary, when we read about it, we find that she's pondering things in her heart. Even when Gabriel came to her to tell her she was going to be carrying, I mean, after he told us that she would be carrying the Messiah, she began to ponder things in her heart. She was listening to all the great news that the shepherds were telling her, and she and Joseph were just pondering things in their heart. And then Simeon begins to prophesy to her. In fact, let's turn there real quickly, and I'm almost done. Not really, but I know you want to hear that. I know you all love to hear that. Okay, I'm almost done, but I'm not really almost done. Listen, over in Luke chapter 2, verse 34. Is everybody there? Luke chapter 2 and verse 34. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. Listen to what he says. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. And for a sign, listen, to be opposed. We've got good news laying in the manger here, and Simeon pops out of his mouth with this word from God. Mary, Mary, this little fella in the manger that you see now is going to be responsible for the rise and fall of many in Israel. Well, what does that mean? What does that phrase mean, the rise and fall of many in Israel? The Son of Jesus Christ, when he comes into the world and begins his ministry, and he begins to proclaim what his purpose is, right then and there, you get yay or nay. You get black or white. You get yes or no. The rise and the fall. What happens is the fall and then the rise. Because all of those who reject him and live in a state of rejection, you're fallen. And you will stay fallen until judgment is visited. Now, the love of God says you don't have to incur his wrath. That's the love of God. He's telling us about that. If you hit somebody over the head with a baseball bat, what's likely to follow that? That was just a little sound effect. Yeah. What's likely to follow that? Ow. I mean, that's going to hurt, right? That's going to hurt. Yeah, that's a natural following. And when you hit somebody over the head with a baseball, I'm just using this for, I want to make sure you get it. Judgment is a natural following when you reject Jesus Christ. And here's what he tells you up front. Judgment is coming. It's no secret. You're not going to be in hell wondering, well, I didn't see this coming. No, because he tells us ahead of time. And he gives us an opportunity. Let me tell you this, and take this to heart this morning, to embrace this. Repentance, when God knows it's coming, because he knows all hearts, right? God knows everything. He knows what you're thinking right now. And some of you in this room need to repent. And so repentance, in God's mind and in God's heart, God has much patience for repentance when he knows it's coming. Sustained disobedience, continued disobedience, has a shelf life. Repentance, a loving God who's patient to wait for you to come. David carried the sin of Bathsheba for about a year and a half before he confessed it. Okay? But God knew that he was going to confess it and repent of it. Repentance, the loving God has patience for. It's that wicked, I'm not going to do it. I am going to disobey him. I'm not going to be obedient to what he says. That's the thing that has a shelf life, and we don't know when that is. We might not even get out of the parking lot today. That's not a scare tactic. That's tactic. That's just reality. My God, I was just reading the other morning as an example to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Israel, God's chosen people, drank from the rock, the same rock. Everybody had the same rock, water, rip, all of that. And God said he wasn't pleased with many of them. Why? Because of disobedience. The ground opened up, swallowed up about 23,000 Jewish people because of unbelief, disobedience. Today, if you hear his voice, if you hear that you need to repent, let this day be that day. Because good news came in the manger to tell you that you could have this day. You don't have to be like that. My prayer is this. Don't take this mess of 2017 that you had all jacked up and waxed up and matted up and carried it into 2018. Why be miserable in both years? And not only that, you'll make it miserable for somebody else. We always realize that all we always think is just us. When you start acting, can I say silly in here? I was going to say stupid, but I don't know that's permissible in here, so I'll just say silly. We think that when we act silly in our lives that it doesn't affect other people. Listen to me. Everything you do affects other people. It's going to affect someone. Yeah. And so he says, this will be a sign. This will be a sign. Finally, he says, it's going to be a sign to be opposed. We count it as a sign of joy if we've accepted Jesus Christ. It should be a sign of joy. It should be a sign of good news. And also, it should be a sign of deliverance. You can't get Jesus Christ and remain the same. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. You cannot eat the whole three-layer cake and remain the same. I had to bring it where people could understand what I'm saying. Yeah, it's impossible. You're going to change. You're going to change, and it's certainly the same with Jesus Christ when he's resident in your heart. Listen, I'm almost done. Actually, I am. And then he says in verse 14, and I'll close with this. He says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. At the time that this is spoken, it's no longer, oh, this is so wonderful. It is no longer one angel making this conversation with the shepherd. If you look at your word, he'll tell you that a host from heaven came, which means this is a serious party. Yeah, this is it. I mean, this is kegs to the 100th, whatever. Heavenly host, a glorifying God. You know why? Because everything that comes out of heaven glorifies God. Everything. Trees, rocks, bushes, animals, fish. We're the only ones that are all messed up. We kind of figure out whether we want to praise him or glorify him or not. What? How can that be? We're trying to determine whether we think we just showed up looking like this. God says, no, I don't have to say a word. I could have shut this down after Genesis 1:1. I don't need to say any more after that. But check this out. He says, my creation can tell you the rest. Ooh, Lord. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Do we grasp, do we understand that? Listen, stop coming to Bethany Place to hear a sermon on Sunday morning. I'm going to explain it, Gene. Just hang on. It's very easy for me to say when I'm visiting, right? And start coming with the expectancy that God be glorified. Come with that as an expectancy, that God be glorified. Not coming to say, what's in it for me today? What word does the pastor have for me? No, 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 no. What's the word in you that you have for someone else that you're sitting right next to, or that you're in class with, or that you're in the hall with, who just needs a drink, a touch from the Lord that you might be carrying? Could it be you're not carrying the Messiah? Because he's the good news. He's the one that sets us free. He's the one that only, one only. It's that word that comforts us. He says he sent his word and healed most of our needs. I'm sorry, who corrected me on that? Because of course, my wife corrected me on that. Absolutely. he healed all our needs. Yeah. We were riding over. We saw several flags out in the front yard. The American flag. American flag. And as a little boy growing up, I remember when having an American flag attached to your home, you knew exactly what that meant. I have no idea what it means anymore. Why? Because we got this whole flag thing happening. And then if you put a Confederate flag and a USA flag up, I mean, no, my Lord, we're what to do with that? But guess what? I don't get hung up on flags. We do more about getting worked up over whether people are kneeling or standing or spitting or whatever they're doing while the anthem's going on. But my Lord God, we had a baby born in a manger and we're trying to do away with the entire nativity scene. Figure that out. Ah, there's something going on to that manger. There's something going on about the manger. You can't erase God. You're not going to be able. And so, guess where I live from? This is why the flags don't bother me. I live from being healed. Because either Jesus healed me or he didn't. And the healing wasn't necessarily in a physical healing. It's that inner place, brothers and sisters, that we hold on and we pretend like that's not us. So we think he won't get there. He'll get there one way or the other. Yeah. And let me just say this to you so you'll know. He's already been there. Jesus is the only man that showed up before he got here. Let me say that again because it just sounds good. Jesus was the only man that showed up before he got here. Because he was already here before John 1:14 when he says the word became and he dwelt among us. Yeah, but he was already here. My God, let me finish this up. Glory to God in the highest. There is no other. Isaiah 44:6 says, God says, there is no other God besides me. And he's not saying that arrogantly, as though he even needs to say it. But can you figure out why peaches come off of a peach tree and cherries come off of a cherry tree? Tree, right? Yeah. Have you figured that out? Yeah, he doesn't need to tell you how great he is. He is great. End of story. We didn't need what he did on each day. He says, I created heaven and earth. Who is it that counsels God? Isaiah asked. Who did God consult with? No. Listen, when you can speak worlds into existence by the mere supernatural power of your word, there is no one else I can give claim to my life except but the Lord Jesus. That's why I'm this wonderful. I haven't always been this wonderful, but Jesus is the reason I am this wonderful this day. Now listen to what I didn't say. I'm not a perfect man. I get it. But God is not going to waddle in your sin. You know why? Write this down, 1 John 1:9. Write it and read it later on the way home or to eat or whatever, and then profess it. He's not going to waddle in your sin because he's got work for you to do. And that work is to proclaim, make him know him and make him known. That's the work. But if you anchor down in your sin and say, boy, I can't do anything for the Lord because I'm just ruined. David didn't stop winning wars and God didn't stop using David because he was harboring the fact that he and Bathsheba had a relationship that God didn't approve of. He carried it for about a year plus months, if you will. But God still used him. Now listen, so he doesn't wink at our sin. He doesn't wink at it because every sin ever committed is going to be accounted for. Every word out of our mouth, every behavior is going to. But listen, on this side of Christ, which the world doesn't have this, we get to be cleansed and scrubbed clean if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness. Oh, they're calling me on it now. Yes, yes, yes. That's all of our unrighteousness. Yeah, yeah. And let me just say this. You imagine yourself sitting here. You say, what? I have the potential to be unrighteous sometimes? Oh, no, not you. He didn't even need to put that verse in 1 John, did he? Hey, listen, that's our cleansing agent, if you will, confession and repentance. Because when we repent, when we confess and repent, that's when he brings time of refreshing. You know, we have little ones, right? Got a little grandbaby. And then we raised 4 other horses in the house, too. Those people. Woo. They will always, 3 girls and a boy, and now a little grandson. They will always be our children. That relationship will never be broken. You think fellowship doesn't get edgy sometimes? Oh, yeah, they can just do some stuff that will just amaze the snot out of you. Can I say snot in here? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Those little cute little darlings can just, like, we wonder, who are you people? And y'all know you're laughing because you know I'm telling you the truth. They're always going to be our children. We're always going to love them. But there is an element of fellowship that we hope to build in them, if you will. It's a two-way street. It's love going both ways. That's the way God is with us. He's not going to waddle in that sin, especially when he's giving you the key to come out of it. Yeah, there's always a door of escape, the route of escape. No temptation that is taken by mankind that God doesn't give it a route of escape. Oh, are you hearing me this morning, Bethany? I'm almost done. Really, I am. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among men of whom he's pleased. Listen, he's not there. There is no universal peace on this earth right now. That's not the peace that this peace is talking about. Because he put that last phrase, whom he is pleased with. You know who God's pleased with? He's pleased with the men who have accepted him, his son. He's pleased with those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's where the only true peace can come from. Isaiah 9:6, he is noted as the Prince of Peace. And let me just give this in closing. What peace is? It's simple. It's simple. For some of you, it's going to set some people free in here this morning because you didn't know the second part of peace. Peace is no more than having the right relationship with God Almighty himself. Having that vertical peace in place. You mean with all of the hell going on around us right now, we can have peace? Yes, because the peace that we really need is the right relationship with God Almighty himself. And that's where true peace comes. Hey, it doesn't stop there. Then the peace on earth now, among men. Yeah, among men. Look to your left and look to your right. There's probably some people next to you that don't look like you, that don't talk like you. God knows, I know there's some people in here that don't look like me. I'm just going out on a limb on that one. But, we can have the peace of God. In fact, we are charged to have the peace of God. Because you can't say you got Jesus and you don't have peace. You can't get Jesus and not have peace. If you got Jesus, that means that this relationship is right. If you got Jesus, that means you need to be living each day that this relationship is right. Well, my God, I don't know what to say. They're Hispanic. Okay, I guess that slipped right by God. He didn't know that. No, peace among men. This is what the world is screaming for. We sing that and say that every Christmas, and the world is saying, where is this peace among men? I don't know what you're talking about, because we ain't living. Can I say ain't in here? We ain't living it. We still in the church. We have problems with black people and white people sitting in the same pew, listening about the same Jesus and the same God and the same Holy Spirit, singing the same songs, and they say, now don't get all wrapped up on that. I told you I'm way past that. What I want you to get wrapped up on, I want you to get caught up in is we've got to live the peace that God has given us. Either Jesus came or he didn't. Well, he did. So what do? We live it. The world's screaming for it. They want to know that peace. In fact, sometimes they don't, they're saying this under their breath. I can't stand Maggie. She comes in here every Monday morning talking about what they talked about at church. Just makes me sick. No one should be that happy. What is her problem? Now, that's what they're saying under their breath. Live peace. Somebody will ask you where you get it from. And it's at that moment in time you ought to be able to tell them. Glory to God on the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Listen, when we glorify God, God says it over in Isaiah 41:43-7. He says, those people who are called by my name, whom I created for my glory. If you're here today and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, we were created for his glory. You mean it wasn't for me to have a car and a boat to go fishing and all those wonderful things? No. It's to glorify God. Now, you might be able to glorify God if you catch fish. Amen. Amen. Oh, okay, we got some folks. Yeah. He doesn't care how many fish we catch. Ask Peter and John. Will you glorify him? Yeah, will you glorify him? And then over in Revelation, the final book of the passage, he says, all things exist for your glory. Revelation 4:12. All things exist for your glory. Brothers and sisters, that's the message. It was more than a baby in a manger. More to it than that. Can we begin to close now? We have music. We're going to close. Is this okay? Hey, listen, we always do it like this. This is normal. That's okay. He was enjoying this so much, we could go on and on and on. But here's what I want to do. My Lord, he used shepherds to tell us, to tell the world. I mean, just that little scene right there has had impact in this room right here. We don't even have church if the baby wasn't in a manger. Yeah, that was telling us, here it comes. Here it comes. Not only was it telling us, here it comes, you have an opportunity to receive him. And so I want to make this known to everybody in this building this morning, because I am done. Well, I never finish. I just stop. Let me tell you, every time I go into the church, I'm always pregnant with the Word of God. I am. You know why? Because I'm gorging it like Monday through Saturdays like it ain't no tomorrow. And you know where I get my greatest joy? Is living it. Yeah. That's when you really see Jesus, when you actually take that Word and you begin to live it, and you go, whoa. Because what you can't account for, you see the odds at 5,000 to 7,000 people, and then you see the 5 loaves and 2 fish. What you don't account for is the supernatural work of God in your life when the Word meets the rubber of the road. Yeah, and I'm into supernatural. Oh, yeah, Star Wars is like Mary Poppins compared to Jesus every day. Stand to your feet, if you will. Let me pray and finish this. If you will, just stand with me.
Come all ye faithful, let's adore the one who brings us such peace. Amen?
We're going to sing. Can we sing one verse and then just have you play? Can we do that? Okay, let's do that.
Bethlehem, come and behold.
Now he's going to pray, and I'm going to pray. I would have you bow your heads. Father God, we do thank you for your visit with us this morning. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that all over this sanctuary, you're dealing with the hearts and lives of your people. Father, I just pray right now that there be a transaction that brings glory to you. Father, I ask that you would bring forth the confessions and the repentance that's necessary that you might be glorified. Father, that there would be a recognition of what took place in that manger that would happen in the hearts of your people in this place this morning. That God, you brought good news. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Milton, I heard a little something here this morning that kind of is touching my life. It's changing my life, as a matter of fact. I'm in that place. It's a little dark, a little funky. I need to make my next step. Not sure I know this Jesus Christ that you're talking about, but if I can know him this morning, you're seeing this in this place this morning, I want to know him. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand all over this sanctuary. You want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ before. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand all over this sanctuary. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what, Pastor Milton, I'm not living like I know the babe in the manger. I know him. I gave my life to him, but I haven't been walking in that way. I haven't been glorifying him by my life. I haven't been telling others, which is a great sign of knowing him. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I just want to pray. That's all I want to do is pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All over this sanctuary, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And you're not ashamed that your hand's up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to pray for those who lift your hands on both accounts. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I would ask that you pray a prayer similar to this. Dear Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I have not ever given my life to you. I've not ever received the gift that you offer for eternal life. I do that now from my heart. Come into my life. Be Lord of my life. Change me forever. Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning, you raise your hand, you said, I'm not walking the walk. My walk is not matching my talk. I want to pray for you as well. Father God, I thank you for those who've come this morning and recognize that they are not quite on the path that you have put them on. Yes, your blood covers them, Lord, but they're not walking in that way. That the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is emanating from their lives. Now, Father, give them the measure of encouragement that they need this morning from you. Give them the exhortation to endure, to persevere, to press on. Father, help them to be bold to surrender, to give their lives to you through lordship. And Father, you'll bring testimonies out of their very being, out of their very mouths, that they will proclaim that you set them free in this moment. So Father, we thank you. We give you praise for all of what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're about to do in the lives of your people. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. On to you. God bless you. Thank you.